three in the Godhead, there's a third part to this salvific process, and it's called glorification. So what we're going to talk about this morning is glorification. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 27. Our authors have entitled the lesson, Anticipating Redemption. Anticipating redemption. See, yes, you have been saved, and yes, you are being saved. Yes, you have been saved. That's justification. And you are being saved. That's sanctification. But there's another hope. There's another view. There's another process in total salvation. In justification and sanctification, the soul has been redeemed. But God is interested in the totality of all mankind, of all creation. And here Paul suggests to us that there is a time coming when we will be redeemed in our bodies. You see, you get saved and you still got this body. You got all of it. Some of you got like Deacon White and Deacon Newsom, they got six packs, others got cases. Mm. But you still got this body. That body does not change. Being born again, being saved is not a physical change at this point. But Paul here suggests that the entire body will be redeemed. Oh, my. In other words, you've been saved from sin. You're being saved. You're being saved from sin, and you will be saved from sin. That being saved from sin is glorification. That being saved from sin says that you will be in a place where there will be no more aches and pains. There will be no more sin. Well, it would suggest to me that the aches and pains that we have while we are being saved here now on earth is because of one thing, sin. Now, I know you guys in this progressive modern church, you're very progressive in worship, but you're very traditional and steeped in doctrine, and you know that just because you get saved, it does not immune you from suffering. Because Paul says, all creation, all creatures have been cursed by what sin brought to the world. And we learned last week that wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and therefore death entered into the world, therefore disease entered into the world, therefore despair entered into the world, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So as long as you are in this present body, as long as you inhale and exhale, you're going to have trials and you're going to have troubles and you're going to suffer. When you're young, you don't think about suffering. And, you used to listen to the old folk when they would groan. Every word was a groan because of the hurt. You ever wonder why grandmama was groaning so much? She groaned because it was a natural state of man. She groaned because, see, groaning sometimes is used when the tongue is too seized to talk. When you can't even call out, you just groan. I used to hear, and I knew one thing. If she was groaning, she was hurting. She was groaning, she was suffering. And Paul today comes to share with us that there are three divine appointments of suffering in this life. I don't care how saved you are. I don't care how unsaved you are. The all of creation was cursed when Adam sinned. And because Adam sinned, there is suffering. Now, I don't want everybody to put all of that on Adam, because it says that Adam is our representative. And so when Adam did it, you did it. Some of us are suffering, not necessarily because of what Adam done, it's because of some of them choices that you made. I just wanted to remind you of that, is that we still are making choices that are sinful, that cause us misery, pain, disease, despair. But God, in verse 18, we see suffering. Let's see, verse 18. Marita, I don't see Marita. Minister Brown, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Would you read 18 for me, please? 18 and 19.
For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Paul says, I reckon, I count it. I account for. I trust in that the sufferings that I go through right now, they pale in comparison to the glory that is to come. So whenever you're hurting, whenever things are totally out of whack, whenever all of sin seems to be pressing against these mortal bodies, we must remember that there's a glory to be revealed. There's a glory that is to come. The glorification process has not yet occurred. But one day, any suffering that I have done in this body will be pale in comparison to the glory that I'll have in that day. He says, for that there's even an earnest expectation. All of creation is waiting, almost like with a stiff neck, paying attention to the day when the sons of God, and that's no super spiritual group either. Even the earth is waiting in anticipation for the day when Christ comes back to take us to that next step of glorification, where, as it is described in Revelation, that there'll be no more pain and sickness, there'll be no more hurting. Verse 20, Minister Brown, I like your voice this morning.
For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope.
Verse 21.
Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
Did y'all hear that? Paul says, first of all, you're suffering, and all of creation is suffering. And that suffering has a meaning to it. See, someone has told us the lie that if you just get saved and if you pray hard enough, if you pray long enough, if you ask the right questions and you get the right prayer language, that there will always be blessings and never any suffering. That's a deception that is being taught. That is a doctrinal deception that is being taught. because you and I know that just as Christ suffered, Paul has told us that we share in that suffering. And just as Christ died, we suffered in that death. And just as Christ was resurrected, we too shall be resurrected. Oh, that even creation, even the moon, the stars, the trees, the pebbles of sand, they look anticipatorily to that day when Christ will come back.
Amen.
Because even nature itself, even God's, this earth is pregnant with the possibility of being restored to what it once was. Oh, y'all don't believe me. I see y'all don't believe me. But I see in verse 21 right there, I'm reading it. I'll read it. I know you read it, Minister Brown, but it says, because the creature, creation itself, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In other words, the earth as it was created, perfect in every way. You look at the most gorgeous mountain there is. You look at the most pristine river there is. The Reese's are going out to Arizona and they look at that majestic desert dry land as they come into Phoenix's airport. You see the beauty of it? It is pale in comparison to what it was and what God is going to restore it to. As a matter of fact, as beautiful as it seems now, it's suffering. Sin messed up. Sin frustrated God's creation. So it not only was the fall of man, Minister Brown, you had the fall of creation itself. Amen. And creation is groaning to get back to its creator. Because it too, all even creation is separated. Just as sin separates man from God, sin has separated God's creation from God. Oh, this is a powerful thing this morning.
Amen, amen.
Because it gives us some insight into why we suffer. Oh, we cry. I think it was Sir Isaac Watts that wrote that song. And I think Whitney Houston made it even more popular. But I really don't think she could appreciate it, Watts and his writing. You know that song, I Love the Lord? He heard my cry and pitied every groan.
Yes.
Long as I live, mm-hmm. and trouble rise, because it will rise, I'll hasten to his throne. So no matter what suffering I go through, I know I can go and one of the people of the royal priesthood can go into the presence of God and say, God, pity this suffering. I'm hurting. I'm groaning. Interesting. This suffering makes sense. This suffering is what we have to go through in order to get there. There's some things you can't go around. Some things you can't go over. Some things you have to go through. And suffering in the present day is something we got to go through. However, it pales in comparison to the glory that we will have when we're in the presence of a one triune God. Verse 22 says,
"But we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Oh. And not a,
go ahead. Mm-hmm.
And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Now, I noticed that some of you, as I was saying, that the earth is suffering, the earth is groaning, and man, some of you just couldn't buy that. Well, if you couldn't buy it, it's because you didn't read the Sunday school lesson. If you can't buy it, it's because you didn't read the scripture. Because I only said what the scripture has said. It says that all of God's creation, every living thing, is groaning. And that even the trees got sense enough to know that they groan now, but that there's a hope. That there is a hope of a day that will come when and as a matter of fact, he almost gives a and he doesn't almost give, he does. This imagery that he's painting is that of a woman who is giving birth to a child who's, you know, who has, it's not a suffering unto death. It's a suffering to produce birth. All of God's creation is groaning till the sons of God are revealed. And all of creation groans with perseverance. That's what's, read 23 for me again, Sister Brown.
And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies.
But tell them why in the first sentence of 24.
Or we are saved by hope.
In other words, can you imagine not being saved and have to go through all this suffering? Sister Ethel, can you imagine? I don't understand how folk who are not saved, folk who are not redeemed, folk who are not saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, how they can go through the craziness in this world. Because folk, I'm here to tell you, if you don't have an ache or a pain, you are still suffering. Sister Key, did you hear me? If you don't have an ache or a pain, you are still suffering. Because to me, to sit and see how indifferent, how brutal, carefree, how careless we can treat one another, that causes you a lot of agony. And sometimes mental pain, emotional pain is worse than physical pain.
Nah.
I don't care if you're like White and Newsom. I love to use them as an example because these are some moderately old men who are, you know, they still got those chiseled chest and got those 18-inch waistlines that I envy. I envy them. But guess what? I don't envy them enough to do anything about the one I got. I'm just going to go on and travail through this. You know, I just accept it as the agony of some poor decisions, and that's what it is. You know, but the point that I want to make here is that even creation got enough sense to groan in anticipation because creation itself has hope. So we who are God's crowning glory, we can travail, we can persevere in hope because we know this is not all there is to life. Because if this is all there is to life, if all there is to life, you know, you're born, you're young and you're young and you're broke and you're struggling. And then you're middle age and you're worried about the future and the past and college educations and building churches and all that kind of, and then you're old and then you're hurting. And if that's all there is to life, Paul was right. We're of all people most miserable. We could have all stayed in our beds. We could have all got an extra hour of sleep, 2 hours of sleep. Didn't have to get up this early to hear this. If that's all there is. But Paul here says that though we suffer in hope because we're saved by hope. Because the last time I checked, Jesus Christos is the hope of all eternal.
Amen.
If I can just trust in him, if I know one day, if I truly believe to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and in that day there will be no crying, no tears, no misery. Every day will be howdy, howdy, and never goodbye.
Yes.
I can hope for that.
Amen.
I can hold on just a little bit longer. I can be a little bit more diligent. Give me the rest of 24.
But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?
In other words, if you are absolutely, totally glorified, saved, body, soul, and spirit, and I can look at your body and see that you are saved, then what are you hoping for? Then why do you hurt? Somebody answer that. Tell me why you got a backache. Why your feet hurt? Well, why is that when I asked you, how you doing, Brother Fred? All is well. Feet hurt, but my soul, all is well with my soul. Yeah. As long as you're in this life, and as long as you know Jesus Christ, yes, your soul is fine. But how's your body? But God wants to redeem the body, is what Paul is trying to tell us. And he says, in redeeming that body, he didn't take you the moment you got saved and take you into his presence. He left you here. And as long as you're in the creation that is cursed by the man who is cursed, you'll have problems. There'll be some sort of suffering. And if you can see that I'm okay, then you don't have to hope for nothing. But I'm going to tell you, Maslow was wrong. I'm not okay, and you're not okay. I don't care what he says. We are fallen creatures living in a fallen creation.
Amen.
And it will not get better till Christ comes back. Yes. It will not get better until we have our glorified bodies. Oh, this makes so much sense. So you can wait. You know, it's one thing about it. You ladies, I'm out of my element now because I've never had a child. Trust me, a lot of things I've had, but it's not a child. Never. In other words, I've never given birth to a child. So I can't say, but. If you know it takes 9 months for a child to be born, why at 1 month you saying, I'm ready to have this baby? Well, why at 2 months you saying, I'm ready to have this baby? Why at 3 months I'm ready to have this baby? No. You've got to wait. You've got to persevere. Because in the end. See, and those of us who trust God is that God's will be done in your life and in that baby's life. But until then, you just got to endure. You got to hold on. Mr. Brown?
But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Read on.
Nope, not yet. I want that to sink in. I want to look at some eyeballs. Because I know that there's some people thought, this guy's crazy. You know, he talking about waiting and all that kind of stuff. Well, I tell you what. Can you do anything about when the time is to come?
No.
You can't do nothing but wait. So it is foolish for you to keep complaining about your present state as opposed to being patient and saying, Lord, in your time. Every time something happens, and I'm not trying to dismiss anything. Every time something tragic or hurtful comes to us, first one, Lord, hurry up and get me through this. As opposed to, Lord, take me through this. You notice there's a difference there. You notice that, Vanessa? Lord, hurry up and take me through this. As opposed to, Lord, get me through this. Only man is governed by time. God is not governed by time. And yes, it's been over 2,000 years since Christ left. When is he coming back? I don't know. But whatever happens, I know one thing. I want to be in the will of God, and I want to be waiting on God to do his thing, to take me from this body that is battered and bruised and return it to that glorified body that he intended it to be. I can do that. And I know there's some young folk on here, Steve, not you, but there's some young folk on here saying, yeah, when you get old, you be talking about, well, you ain't got that much longer to wait, but you know, I'm 25, you know, that's a long time, you know, to have to suffer, to have to put up with this. Your souls have been saved. You're alive in Christ. Well, all Paul is trying to say is take up on the argument that he had in the previous verses, is that you're gonna live in the spirit. You're gonna have aches and pains. You're gonna have trouble. Men, because men still sin. Notice how even folk who call themselves Christians, folk who say they are saved, they just still go about sinning with impunity. First Mate, you didn't say that, did you? Yes, I said it. Because Jesus says, this is how that they will know that you're my disciples. This is how they will know that you're mine, how you show love for one another. So when you don't show love, one instance of not showing love is sin. And you don't think nothing about it. I'll ask for forgiveness. Yes, there's forgiveness of sin. God forgives all sin. The Bible is clear. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that there are consequences of sin. We see it every day.
Amen.
Because if there was no sin, all sin has been forgiven. So now, you know, there's no effect. Tell me why some of y'all got to get up and go to work in the morning. If all sin has been forgiven. Because the last time I checked, when man was created, he was not created to do hard labor. We're experiencing the consequences. And just because you decide to run out there in front of a car of your own free will and you get all banged up, you were fine before you ran out in front of that car, but now you walk with a limp. The limp, yeah, you got better. It got healed, but you walk with a limp. That's the consequences. Oh, this is hard stuff. for liberal theologians. This is hard stuff for folk who just believe that you got saved and therefore you are now saved into prosperity while here in a cursed environment. I'm missing something. It's me. It's because I'm older now. I'm not old like Steve. I'm just older, you know. But I understand it now. I understand Grandmama now. When she always talked about rest, you know, and hardworking, always working hard, but talked about rest. She even used to sing a song, Brother Bolden, that went something. Oh, I tell you, I'm just reminiscing right now, Steve, but I remember the song so well. How could I forget it now? It was when I've gone the last mile of the way, I shall rest. At the close of a day. And you know what? And I know there'll be joy that awakes me when I've gone the last mile of the way. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, hey, I'm groaning right now. I'm hurting right now. But there's going to come a time when I'll have that glorified body that won't need rest. It is in a restful state. It is in a peaceful state. Sister Harriet, Mr. Harriet, 26, please.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, but we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Now, I'm surprised that more people don't understand the purpose and the power of prayer. You see, God is not some cosmic bellhop that is just waiting for you to come and meet your every need, just do. God hears and answers only the prayers of those who pray in his will. That's why he told you in the model prayer, Sister Samuel, pray like this. Your will be done as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done. Stop praying those mamby-pamby prayers that are not in the will of God. So in order to get in the will of God, you're going to have to know the word of God, because his word reveals his will. And every one who is born again on this line has a paraclete, has God in him, has the Holy Spirit in him. And God, and here Paul says, you are travailing and you are struggling and you are hurting and you are groaning, and yet you don't even know what to pray for. But God is so good and God is so gracious. He's plenteous in grace and mercy. He has indwelt you so that he could talk to himself. Oh, y'all don't hear me. You don't know what to say. But God says, whenever you don't know what to say, he knows what to say. He knows what it's really all about. You groaned, oh Lord, oh Lord, why me? And the Holy Spirit is telling God, Lord, here's what he really means. He means I'm suffering just for a little while, but I'm looking forward to the day of being with you, where there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow. Lord, as I suffer down here, help me to go through to accomplish your purpose and your will in my life. That's what he meant to say. I heard him say, why me? I heard him say, Lord, please send a vaccine. I heard him say, Lord, please ease the pain. I heard him say, but Lord, this is what he meant. And the Holy Spirit, those who are in the Spirit, communicate perfectly to God, and because they communicate the will of God. And God would never tell himself to hurry. Oh, y'all got to hear me this morning. You don't ever hear me no more. God is not in a hurry to do anything, to go anywhere. And does any of my basic doctrine students know why? Because he's omnipresent. He's not in a hurry to go anywhere because he's already there. You're the one got to get there. You're the one going somewhere. God ain't going nowhere. He's already there. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us in those times. He knew that your soul was saved, but he knew he has to redeem the body, and he has not done that yet. It will be that day that is described as when the dead in Christ shall rise first. and those that are dead, their bodies, a one-to-one correlation will meet with their spirits in the sky, and we shall be with him. And then there is that day when we will be with him in our glorified state. And even the universe, even the earth, all of creation is new. See, you're a new creature in soul only. But Paul here is talking about looking toward a period in which you'll have a new body, a redeemed body. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And you guys thought I was making it up. It's right there for you. You don't know what to say, but God always knows what to say. Because after all, he is the word. How can you say better words than the word? We look anticipatorily to the day when the salvific process will be complete. Justification, sanctification, that will occur in glorification. Until then, we still live in earth. We still will have problems. We still will suffer. But we don't have to suffer like those who don't have any hope. Because our hope is in the one and triune God. Thank you for your time.